You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Reverend Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of God. And we are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard. And that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number is 321-255-6999.
Amen.
Always remember, if you do not have a home church, our doors are open every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. We are the church in the city with the city in its heart. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Now we have Pastor Ross and Evangelist Copeland here to minister the word of God.
Well, we praise the Lord and we thank the Lord for everything that he's done and what he's now doing in each one of our lives.
Amen.
As children of the Most High God. We want to be a blessing to all out there in Radio Land today and to bring to your hearing that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and he wants you to continuously to be blessed.
Amen.
And receive everything that he has for you as a child of God. He's merciful and compassionate.
Yes.
And he loves us all. But he cannot love the sin that we're in. So I want to pray for those out there right now in Radio Land that if you're caught up in any type of entanglement or any type of bondages that the enemy has placed you in because of your weakness or misunderstanding according to what the word of God says. I want to pray for you right now.
Amen.
Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that we can pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and not only those that are in Christ, but we can pray for those that do not know you, because you didn't come to save a nation. You came to save us all.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you and praise you. We rebuke the powers of darkness, every enemy that will try to continue to hold anyone in bondage. We bind them in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus'
name. And command it to loose his hold and set the captives free. So, Father, we thank you and praise you because your word is forever in our mouths.
Amen.
And in our hearts. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise God. Well, today we want to look at the word of God in James 4 and verse 7, but we want to try and couple that with Matthew, the 4th chapter. Praise God.
Amen.
The temptation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We all go through temptations. And the thing of it is that even Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, he says here that that there has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation make a way of escape. And that way of escape is that he will give you the strength, the power, the anointing to bear it.
Amen.
So we want to look at this word today concerning resisting the devil. How many out there in Radio Land are resisting the adversary or perhaps becoming a victim of the adversary? If you are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb and the power of God Almighty resides on the inside of you, then you don't have to be a victim. You are a victor.
Amen.
You have victory over the forces of darkness. And we need to keep that in mind. Not trying to say that you're perfect or some super Christian, but I want to tell you the one that resides on the inside of you, he's holy, he's righteous, he's powerful because he's already told us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yes.
So we want to look at, for starters, going back in terms of how we resist the devil. Many people are hollering at the devil and trying to tell the devil to get back and to stop doing what he's doing. But the most important thing is that the devil's not paying any attention to you when you're using your own words in terms of trying to tell him to stay at bay. What and how we resist the devil is through the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Through the word of God. So we want to look at, first of all, we're going to read James as our foundational scripture, and we're going to branch out into Matthew and let you see that the one that has set the example for us, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the pattern son. He is the one that we follow. Praise God. So, Minister Glory, would you read James 4 and verse 7 here, please?
It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. He never said to fight the devil. He never said to holler at the devil. He said to resist.
Yes, Pastor.
And resist means to actively oppose him. But how do we do it? It's done through the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
That's how we oppose our opponent, or our adversary, the devil. Now, I want to take you into Matthew, the third chapter. And you can't do this without having the power of God in your life.
Amen.
And the word. You can't oppose. You can't resist him. You'll become a victim if you try to do it in of your own strength. Amen?
Amen.
So what happens is that we must keep the word in our mouths, praise God, in our hearts. So before that can be done, we have to have this supernatural experience that the Lord Jesus Christ went through. He set the example for us all. So, evangelists, I want you to look at Matthew 3 and verse 16 and 17. Eh? Praise God.
The word says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens was opened unto him.
Glory to God.
And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. Verse 17, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
Praise God. And the continuation of that is that when that had taken place, first of all, Jesus was empowered.
Yes, Pastor.
By the Holy Spirit. You see, you can't resist the devil without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You can attempt to do that. And that's why today a lot of people are yelling at the devil. They're saying, get out of here. You can have no place. Get behind me. But the thing of it is that the word is the power.
Yes.
The word of God is the power that we use in order to keep the enemy at bay and to speak to him so that he and he alone and all of his imps, cohorts, minions, whatever you want to call them, that we will have authority over, because the word is the power of God.
Amen.
Amen. The word is the power of God. So when we look at this scenario here, we see that, first of all, Jesus, who is the pattern son, he is our example.
Amen.
Now, he was baptized. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes, he was.
And moving forward, we're looking at that he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry.
Yes, yes.
He was hungry. So now we want to look at, first of all, that he was baptized, so now he has the power. And this is why Jesus told his disciples there in Acts 1 there, don't go anywhere, don't do anything. You tarry here in Jerusalem until you have received the promise of the Father.
Amen.
Another translation says, until you be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise God. You need the power Not only you need the power, but you got to keep the word in your mouth.
Amen.
Praise God. So let's look at Matthew, the fourth chapter, because we're moving forward when Jesus first was empowered.
Yes.
Now, I want to say something here and I want to be clear with what I'm talking about. You know, now Jesus is God. He's 100% man and 100% God.
Amen,
but the whole
Pastor.
Idea is that, you know, he didn't have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He didn't have to.
You're but right, when, Pastor.
Amen. But what happened is that he set an example for us. Praise God.
And yes,
it's so important that he set this example. So, Evangelist, I would like for you to read Matthew, the fourth chapter. Because now we are coming into the temptation as the... It's amazing. Have you ever thought of it? It says that after he was baptized in the Holy, he was led
by the Spirit.
Led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted. Now, you got this thing that has to be tested. You say that you have the Holy Spirit.
Ooh.
You say that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then there's a trial. There's a test that's coming.
Yes, it is.
Amen. So on the panel here, who would like to read that? Coming up to that fourth chapter here where...
All right.
Go ahead.
It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
Now, the question would be, is that why would the Holy Spirit lead Jesus up in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? That is a profound question.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Pastor.
Why anybody got any comment on that? Why would he be led up in the wilderness to be tempted? To be tempted.
Well, Pastor, the Holy Spirit, it was the Father that told the Holy Spirit, lead him out there. And Jesus knew, well, the Father knew that the enemy was the God of this world, Pastor. And he was going to use his son to show God's power, Pastor. That he was anointed, appointed, and sent by the King. Jesus didn't fail nothing in the wilderness, Pastor. He passed the test with flying colors. And he proved himself that he was the Son of God, Pastor.
So the most important thing here that we can glean from this scenario here is that now what we have, when I said we, I'm speaking in terms of everyone that is born again.
Amen.
Which Jesus never had to be born again. But the point is that, and been baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is the power of God. This
Nothing
is the power,
the power
of God.
Pastor.
So what happened is that he was led up in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So now this temptation is not anything that we can take lightly, because when someone is tempted, that means that everything is thrown their way to try to knock them off course.
Yes.
So, Matthew 4 and verse 1, what does it say there, Minister Gloria? You want to read that? You had something you want to comment on that before we...
No, but I'm going to read it. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. Amen. Mm-hmm. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.
Now, we understand that the enemy knew that he was hungry and he was appealing to his flesh. Because I'm telling you, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, you know, I mean, you're hungry.
Yes.
Yes, Pastor.
You're hungry.
Very hungry.
Mm-hmm. So what happened is that the enemy or the tempter tried to get Jesus to not do what the Father wanted him to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You see, now had Jesus disobeyed what the Father said and try to prove who he is to his adversary or to the opponent there, then what would happen is that he would be in direct disobedience of what the Father said.
Mm-hmm. That is correct, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Is everybody on the same page?
Yes,
Pastor.
Jesus didn't come to do his will.
Mm-hmm. No, he didn't.
But the will of the one that sent him.
Yes.
See, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. But the point that I'm trying to convey to all the listeners out there in Radio Land, and even here around the panel, is that he could have commanded those stones to be turned into bread.
He could have. He was the Son of God, Pastor.
And he had the power. He 100% man, 100% God.
Yes, Pastor. Yes.
So, eventually, so how do you look at this in terms of the devil is telling him, well, since you are the Son of God, command these stones to be turned into bread.
Excuse me, Pastor. That would have been no problem for Jesus to turn the stones into bread. But he knew that, Pastor. He was driven by the Spirit. Jesus made a show of the devil openly, Pastor, because he came back with the word at him.
Amen.
And he said, no, the Son of Man, Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Satan, he said, if thou be. He knew who he was, Pastor. But Jesus spoiled the plot of the enemy, Pastor. He said, no. And you read, Pastor Glory, read what the fourth verse says.
But he answered and said, it is written.
Yes.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Well, see, now this is a very profound statement, because here it is. Jesus is now quoting Deuteronomy 8 and
Amen.
Verse 3.
Go ahead, Pastor.
No, somebody read it. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. Praise God. Somebody go there and look at that. He's quoting an Old Testament scripture there.
And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee known that man does not live by bread only, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth may live.
Amen.
And that's what he's saying. He says, well, it is written. That means that before he even tell the devil, it's already been written. And this is what he's saying. It's already been written. So he quoted that verse of scripture there to him. The point we're trying to convey is that the devil is not going to listen to you other than speaking the word of God. This is why every child of God that is filled with the Spirit of God should keep the word of God in their mouths.
Amen.
And when the opponent or the adversary or whatever you want to call him comes to try to tempt you, the only thing that will keep the devil at bay is the word of
Go
God.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Amen. I said the word of God.
The word of God, Pastor.
Praise the Lord.
And
this
Jesus
word.
Jesus knew that word.
Amen. So what happened is that this word is so powerful. And Evangelist, I would like for you to read Hebrews 4 and verse 12, because that's the word of God.
Amen.
Among other verses of scripture, praise the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 4 and verse 12.
Amen, yes. Pastor. Mm-hmm. It says,
glory to God.
For the word of God is quick, mm-hmm, and powerful,
yes,
and sharper,
yes,
than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen.
Praise God. That's how powerful the word of God is.
Yes.
And when we speak the word of God to any situation, praise the Lord, the word is so powerful that it's just like an x-ray machine. It goes already all the way through to the marrow of the bone. So when the enemy comes and he tries to trip us up or to tempt us, we can speak the word of God.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And the word of God will keep him at bay. And this is what Jesus did. So Jesus is our example. Yes. So this is how we follow him in terms of what he did.
Amen,
praise
Pastor.
God. We don't go around and use our own words trying to tell the devil to get out of here or do all these things. We use the word of God. That's why the word has to be in your mouth and in your heart. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus. So the devil wasn't finished when he said that.
No, he wasn't.
But in some translation it says, when he approached Jesus through this temptation, he said, since you are.
Yeah.
He recognized who Jesus was.
Amen. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And some translations say, if you. So whether if or since. The point still remains that he wanted him to command these stones to be turned into bread.
Ain't that something? Yes, he did.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Because first of all, he realized that Jesus was hungry.
Mm-hmm. After 40 days.
Yeah, after 40 days. And he was appealing to his flesh.
Exactly. Yes.
That's what he was appealing to his flesh.
Yeah,
trying to get him, knock him off course, so that he can become disobedient unto the Father. You know, the Father said, Jesus said, well, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of the one that sent me.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Let's look. I think a verse of scripture there will try to give us clarity on why he didn't do it. I think it's in St. John 6. Where Jesus said, I came down from heaven. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Think St. John, the 6th chapter. Well, I'm just making a quick quote here. And if we look at that, it says, St. John 6 and verse 38 there.
For I came down from heaven.
Can you speak a little louder, Minister Glory?
For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me.
Now that's crystal clear there.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he had done his own will, and Satan tried to get him to do his own will by telling him, well, if you can command, since you're the Son of God, you can command these stones to be turned into bread.
Amen.
Suppose Jesus had done that, then what would have happened? Mm-hmm. Then he would have been in violation of St. John 6 and verse 38.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
But thank God that we have a Savior that does everything to please the Father.
Yes.
And we should be doing everything that we can with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To please him. Praise God.
Praise
Isn't
God.
That wonderful?
Yes, it is.
So
yes,
now,
it is.
Will you have something you want to say, Evangelist? Evangelist, do you have something else you want to say?
No, Jesus summed it up. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, mm-hmm, but the will of him that sent me.
Amen.
He knew he was sent.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise
he knew
God.
He was sent. He was on a mission, Pastor. And he fulfilled the calling that God sent him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But see, the devil didn't leave him alone, though.
No, he didn't, Pastor.
Is he? And he's always trying to knock all of us out of the pocket,
yes,
so to speak, trying to get us to disobey what the Father has said. This is why when we keep praise in our mouths, when we keep the word of God in our mouths and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he says that he would do in this earth realm, is to guide and lead us. I strongly believe that the pitfalls that the devil sets up, he would get us around those pitfalls.
Yes, he will. God will.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Yes,
I remember the scripture in 1 John.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? 2 and I believe that's 16. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh,
mm-hmm,
the lust of the eyes,
yes,
and the pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not of the Father, but is of the world.
Yes.
And that's all that was being done here during this temptation, was the flesh, the pride, and pride of life.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen. That is true. Well, it's the same thing that that took place there in the garden. You see,
yes.
The devil has no new tricks.
Mm-hmm.
What it is that he just catch people off guard. Now, there's a distinct difference between what took place there in the garden
mm-hmm.
and what now Jesus, because Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Adam and Eve, what was there that went on in there? It was the lust of the eyes,
mm-hmm.
the lust of the flesh,
and
it was the pride of life
yes.
right there in the garden.
Yes, right there in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. in the garden.
And those are tricks that the devil used.
Yes.
Today, Pastor.
Yes.
He used under the old covenant. He used the serpent. He spoke through the serpent, and Eve knew exactly what God had said because Adam told her.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that she had what the lust of the eyes. She said that she saw that the tree was fine, so she mm-hmm. wanted to eat from it.
Yes, Pastor. Mm-hmm.
See, that's the lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is that you want to be like God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You see, right. So the three steps that took place in the garden there is the same tactic that he tried to use against our master,
Amen.
Our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes,
you see, the Holy Spirit now, oh, let me just say something here. It's true that Adam and Eve were not baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
No, they weren't, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they didn't have a sin nature.
No, they didn't.
You see, they were created
perfect.
in the power of God.
Yes.
But when the devil beguiled Eve, then sin came.
Yes, it did.
Through her and Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So now they develop a sin nature.
Yes, they did, Pastor.
You see, well, that's another teaching anyway to go on, because what happened is that they were born without a sin nature. But the thing of it is that after they sinned, that's when that nature developed, and we all that were born after Adam and Eve, we were born in sin and so forth.
Yes.
But the point is that the devil wouldn't leave them alone here in Matthew. He wouldn't leave Jesus alone in Matthew 4. Now, where did he take him after he tried to appeal to his flesh and Jesus wouldn't do it because he knew the tricks of the adversary? You know, it's amazing. Here it is. Jesus knew the tactics that the devil was trying to do.
That mm-hmm. is correct, yes. Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
He never operated in deity. He didn't do that.
No, he didn't.
Now, he was 100% man and 100% God,
yes.
but he never operated in deity.
Amen.
Because if he did, we wouldn't have a chance because we are not God.
Amen.
So what he did is that he listened to the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit, in whom he was baptized,
mm-hmm.
this is the guiding force.
Amen.
They gave him the instructions not to do it. Well, I want radio listeners out there, stay tuned. We're going to take a station break. We'll be right back.
You're listening Amen. To WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay. 100.7 FM.
Thank you. We're back from the break. We want to continue with Matthew 4, and we want to let you see that the only thing that will keep the enemy at bay is the Word of God. I want to ask Evangelist now to Evangelist Copeland if he would just further illustrate there in this second attempt that that Satan tried to come up against the Lord Jesus Christ. He tried to get him to change those stones into bread, so Jesus gave him the word. Now, what was the second step that the enemy used to try to throw our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ off course? You want to read that, Evangelist?
Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And verse 6 says, and he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, excuse me, he mm-hmm. shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again,
mm-hmm.
thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Yes.
Now when the enemy told him that, when he took him up to that pinnacle of the temple, into the holy city,
yes, Pastor,
the city of Jerusalem,
mm-hmm,
then what happened is that he misquoted the verse of Scripture,
yes,
anyway.
Yes, he did.
And that's why the devil's a liar.
Yes, he is, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12, you'll see that. Somebody read that, praise the Lord.
He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
Amen.
So you see that the whole idea that he misquoted the verse of Scripture,
yes,
there.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus knew that what the enemy was doing was strictly temptation. He was only operating through the power of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't operating as God through the power of the Holy Spirit, although he was God. He is God.
Yes.
So the thing is that when the enemy used that verse of Scripture, he misquoted Psalms 91, mm-hmm, and verse 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen.
He misquotes like he does a lot of other things.
Yes.
He tells you a little bit of the truth.
Yes.
But he has no whole truth, because there's no truth in him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. There's, yes, no truth in him. And that's why he's a liar. And he's the father of lies.
Yes.
This is why we stand firm that the God that we serve, he knows all things. And he can never be tricked or fooled concerning what the word of God says, because he is that word.
Amen.
Praise God. Mm-hmm.
There's something you wanted to say, Minister Gloria?
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. So now let's look at this temptation here. First of all, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need that power.
Yes, you do.
And this is why Jesus wants us all to be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Go ahead.
Not by our own mind,
yes,
or the mention of our own words and so forth. So we got that. Praise God. And now the empowerment came for a service.
Mm-hmm.
See, when he put... You know, it's another thing that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, he you're being baptized for a service.
Yes, Pastor. Yes.
For a service, you know, to do a work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God wants us all to be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I mean, he told the 12, what happened? They went up there in that upper room there. They spent that time up there, and then they got what God wanted them to have.
Amen.
You know? So the point is that he took Jesus up on the pinnacle of a temple there in the holy city, which is Jerusalem.
Yes, he did.
And he's going to try to tempt him again by telling him to cast himself down. You know, I wonder how many times we've been tempted, not realizing what the temptation was, and we fell for it.
That is correct, Pastor.
I wonder how many of us. I mean, we're not perfect.
I've been there.
We've all been there, because we looked at something that we thought was the right thing to do, but yet it was not the right thing.
Right.
A good thing might not be the right thing. Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So we see what? We see there's two temptations that the enemy trying to throw our Lord and Savior off course.
Yes.
First of all, with the commanding the stones to be turned into bread.
Yes.
And the second one was that he took him. Now, let me ask you something there. I've heard people say that that this was in Jesus' mind. Now, I mean, can we look for clarification concerning what was this? Was it some mental thing that Jesus was going through, or perhaps it was something physical? I'm waiting for an answer here.
I'm thinking it is all spiritual, because God, guess what? He's God the Father, but his attributes, he didn't use, he left them that came down here on earth. But he was still being led by the Spirit of God when he got the baptism of God, Pastor. So I'm quite sure that Jesus was being led in his spirit by the Holy Spirit, Pastor, before he made any decisions. Jesus was being led of the Spirit. Pastor.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that it was in his mind.
No, it wasn't in his mind, Pastor. It was in his spirit.
Well,
that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. He was born of the Spirit when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, Pastor. So he was led of the Spirit of God.
Yes, but my question is, how did he move from one place to another? Was it from a mental state, or was it from a physical standpoint? Now, there are two schools of thought. I don't know.
Yeah, Pastor, because you got me thinking, Pastor.
No, well, I'm looking at it right now. It's right there in the scripture. It says that in the second temptation, it says that he took him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he taketh him. Yes, Pastor. Mm-hmm.
He took him. So, I mean, that's not no mental thing there.
No.
He said he took him
yes.
up to the pinnacle of temple.
And he went with him too, Pastor.
Yes, up to the pinnacle of temple in the holy city. Now, I'm not being dogmatic about what I'm saying, because there's two schools of thought on that. But I strongly believe that Jesus never had a mind that could be disturbed by some adversary, you know, because
if he is
the pattern son, and we have the mind of Christ. So my position I take on that is it was a physical thing, because the scripture says that he took him.
Yeah, yes.
You know, mm-hmm. on the pinnacle of temple yes. in the holy city, which is Jerusalem.
Yes.
And he told him to cast himself down. Mm-hmm. Now, all of this gives strong indication that if it's in your mind, you can't cast yourself down. It has to be from a physical standpoint. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we're just looking at what the scripture says, and not being dogmatic. If there's another revelation that can come forth that shows us that it was otherwise, then we look at what the Word of God says. But the third temptation, mm-hmm. why is it only three temptations?
Because the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Praise God. That's very good, Minister Gert. You know,
all three that he was tempted in the garden with.
Amen.
Amen. So this third temptation, what was it? I think you read it, Evangelist, about thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Yeah. Jesus said in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Man. So now, when he said that, then, you know, it's amazing. Jesus was quoting Old Testament scripture.
Yes, right.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was, Pastor.
6:16. Yes.
You see, he was quoting the Old Testament scripture.
Mm-hmm.
In Deuteronomy, what, 6?
6:16.
In verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was quoting. It's amazing. As he said, it is written.
Mm-hmm.
And it is written. See, when something is written, it is before I speak to you now, it has already been discussed.
Right.
Praise God. Been already mentioned.
Yes.
It is written.
And it says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in M-A-S-S-A-H, Messiah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he had commanded thee.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So he quoted that verse of scripture there.
Yes.
And we are not to tempt the Lord thy God.
No. No.
Only him we shall serve.
Yes.
Yes.
Praise God. We shall worship him. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are tempting God. I was looking at a program there with the Appalachian people there, that they're handling snakes and stuff like this. That's a form of temptation. Of,
yes, it is.
The Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you're tempting God because those serpents, they're venomous and they bite you. They're going to poison you.
Yes.
So if you think that you can tempt God and get away with it, I don't believe that will be wise. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are not to tempt the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm.
And other people say, well, I'll drink some poison. The scripture says that if I drink any deadly thing, in Mark 16, it says, well, if I drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt me, you know? Well, see, that is, if you drink it and you know what you're drinking, well, you'll be over on the other side
yes,
if you're
yes.
drinking poison.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But if you don't know and somebody's trying to do this to you, you're not tempting them, but God will protect you.
Amen.
Amen.
And the scripture backs that up, Pastor, in 1 Corinthians 13. There has no temptation taking you but such as common to man.
Amen.
But God is faithful. Say it. God is faithful.
Yes, he is faithful.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also making a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it.
Yes. And also God says that God does not tempt no man.
That's what the word says, Pastor.
He doesn't tempt us.
He don't tempt us.
You know? So the thing is that we should not be tempting God. A lot of times we do things out of spiritual ignorance in tempting God, but his grace is sufficient. I put it that way. But anyway, the devil, what he did is that Jesus came back with the word, is the point that I'm trying to convey to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. That,
amen.
That he spoke the word.
Yes. Yes. That's what he did, Pastor. He led by example. Yes.
When you mention about let no man say he's tempted by God. That's scriptural. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust.
Yes.
And enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Amen. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
And let the radio listeners out there know exactly what scripture you just read.
James 1:13-15.
James 1:13-15. Praise God. Let no man say that he's tempted of God. God tempts nobody.
Nope.
Listen to what I'm saying. He tempts no man. But then it tells us when a man is tempted, and that's very clear. When a man is tempted, he's tempted with his own lust and enticement. It's something that's on the inside of him that have gotten attraction to what he's being attempted with. You know, it's a very powerful thing there, because I'm not saying that this took place with Jesus, because he never had any of these things that the enemy was trying to tempt him with.
No, he didn't.
But as far as us as children of God, there are some things that are in us that have not been satisfied or perhaps removed out of our lives.
Yes, Pastor.
It brings forth an answer to what we're being tempted with. And for instance, you know, if lust is in your heart, and someone presents some lustful environment to you, that there's an attraction there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're going to fall into that trap. Yes.
There's an attraction there. But anyway, that's just one of the ways of looking at something. There are many things that takes place. But the funniest thing here is that after he tempted him three times,
yes,
then what does the word of God say?
We didn't finish the third one.
We'll go back to
it. It says, again, the devil took him up into a exceeding high mountain.
Yes, he did.
And showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. My. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. There you go. For it is written.
Yes.
Thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Wait a minute. Read that again.
Yeah.
Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Pray.
Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
That is very clear. But the thing of it is that when he took Jesus on that high mountain, showed him all the kingdom of this world, listen, they belonged to him at that time.
Amen.
Yes, they did. He was the God of this world, because he lost, Adam lost his authority in heaven.
Yes. Well, to kind of solidify what we're talking about with these kingdoms, listen, in Luke 4 and verse 6, I think it is somewhere in that vicinity there, where he said this thing was delivered to him.
Yes.
So in other words, Adam gave all this stuff to him. So these kingdoms belonged to him.
Yes, they did.
And also, as you said, evangelist, that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, that he's the God of this world. Mm-hmm. Well, he's God of the world systems. But the most important thing is that when I look at the word, I see Psalms 24, where the word of God tells us that the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, the world, yes. And they that dwell therein. The devil don't own this world.
No.
He's just the God of the world system.
He does.
Yes.
The pastor.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
But these kingdoms is what he tried to use against the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The scriptures tells us that there's nothing made that was not made by him that's made. So he owns all this stuff.
Amen. Yes, he does. God the Father, God the Son.
Amen.
God the Holy Ghost. Pastor, I want to talk on verse 8 again.
Mm-hmm.
The devil taking them up into exceeding high mountain. He showed them Jerusalem, Pastor.
Yes.
He took them up a little bit high and said, let me. And showed them all the kingdoms of the world.
I think that was Mount Nebo, if I'm not mistaken. He took that's the highest.
I believe that is, Pastor.
Yeah.
Yes. And the glory of them. Pastor, he went from the city of Jerusalem, and then he went up and he took them on the mountain and showed them all the world's kingdoms, Pastor. And Jesus said, and said, verse 9, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. He wanted Jesus to turn on his Father.
Amen.
But let's look at this a little further here. Here it is. Jesus is in deity. He's the creator of all things.
Yes, Pastor.
And here he's listening to a creature
that he created
to tell him to fall down and worship him. Oh, I tell you, something wrong with that picture.
Pastor, what's that scripture? Isaiah.
What verse are you referring to?
Isaiah, where the enemy was saying, I will be like the Most High. I will set my throne.
In Isaiah 14 and verse 12.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Want to read that?
Oh, Pastor Gloria can read it. Go ahead, Pastor Gloria.
Isaiah 14, verse 12.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just a scripture that came. He wanted to know where it was.
From verse 12 to 15, Pastor.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? But thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I will exalt thy throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the earth, of the sides of the north, sorry. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
Verse 15 says,
yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the size of the pit.
He said, I will five times, Pastor.
Yes.
Well, the most important thing is that the devil, he wants us to worship him.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Pastor.
That's what he wants. He wants mankind to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not worshiping the devil.
No.
We worship God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So what it is that it's very important there. It kind of like threw us off course there in terms of him wanting us to worship him. He was talking to Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus made it clear that you to worship the Lord thy God, and only him you shall serve.
Amen.
You shall serve. Praise God. But then now, after that, then what happened? He leave Jesus, but he left him for a season.
That's it.
That is correct, Pastor. Left him for a season.
That's what it says.
Amen.
Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto Jesus.
Glory to God. Then angelic beings came and ministered unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, keep in mind that we never forgotten that he is 100% man and 100% God.
Amen.
You know, He left his position there in heaven as deity. He came down here in the earth realm and operated as the Son of Man, having the example that he followed the examples that was set. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He's been empowered so that we all that's been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are able to withstand the powers of darkness. We don't have to run from them. We are empowered,
yes,
to stand against the powers of darkness. Now, I want to throw this in because I think in Acts 10 and verse 38, which is a very familiar verse of scripture here, it talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all them that were oppressed of the devil.
Yes.
I just want to let you know that Jesus, he was anointed by God, power of the Holy Ghost. Now, he didn't have to, but what it is that he set the example for us all. We all should be baptized. We all should be baptized. Not just
Amen.
Have a,
that's what the word just, says, Pastor.
Not just have a confession, but don't have no possession. See, when we confess something, we should have the possession of it.
Amen.
Praise God. A lot of people going around, they talk about the Holy Spirit, and they do. The Holy Spirit is power. He's divine. He's the third person of the Godhead. And what it is that he guides and leads us into all truth.
Yes.
Praise God. So the devil left him and the angels ministered to him.
Yes.
Praise God. And I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. We want all out there in Radio Land that have tuned in to the broadcast to understand what we were trying to portray to our listeners out there. We are not being dogmatic in terms of our expressions in terms of scripture, because the word of God is progressive revelation. You may read it and see something a little different that the Holy Spirit would lead you.
Amen.
But as far as our limited knowledge concerning what we were talking about here today is that the power of the Holy Spirit will enable us to withstand the forces of darkness.
Amen.
Amen. Because the God that we serve, he set the example for
us. Yes, he did, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? He set the example for us. And when he was baptized, and not to say that you have to be baptized, because the thief on the cross was not baptized, and he was taken down to paradise.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So it's good if you are baptized.
Praise
in
him.
Water. Glory to
yes,
God.
Pastor.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Yes.
But Jesus set the example for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Because Pastor. He told John, matter of fact, he told John to suffer it to be so for righteousness' sake. Amen?
Yes.
That's what he said. And I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when we can just look back and see the empowerment of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And what he does in all of our lives as a child of God. Amen.
Yes, Pastor.
When I was looking at Matthew 3, verse 16 and 17, and thereafter, I said to myself, first of all, well, Jesus was setting the example for us that don't do anything because you don't have no power to do anything.
That's correct.
You don't have no power to do anything. And then I went back into Acts 1, and when he told the disciples, said, wait a minute, you tarry here in Jerusalem until you've been endued with power from on high. Glory to God, receive the promise of the Father. And that's what they did. They tarried.
And they waited.
They waited around. Praise God. And on that 10th day, they were in that upper room there. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. That's a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is, Pastor. It took them to another different level.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, and he only commanded the 12, but he only told the disciples.
Yes.
But what happened is that then in the upper room, was another, what, it was 120.
Mm-hmm.
But then, no, that was like 108 that was there in there praying, because the 12 made it 120.
Amen.
Glory to God. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for this. We want to offer and extend the Holy Spirit promise to everyone out there, because God wants you to have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He wants you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when we all can receive the Holy Spirit, be baptized. You know, a lot of people say, well, listen, well, when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, that I have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't want to be dogmatic, but I want to say this. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit is a subsequent experience.
Yes.
And the reason I know that is because the disciples, they that walked with Jesus, was already saved.
Yes.
So then they had to be empowered through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask Minister Gloria, if she would just give a little illustration there concerning
the invitation
there.
Yes.
Just, you have enough time, I think.
Yes, 2 minutes. In Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That's
praise
the word
the Lord.
Of God.
And I want to be emphatically clear and let you know that Titus 3 and verse 5 tells us clearly. He says that it's not by any works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Let him do this work in your life, and I tell you, you will be blessed. God bless you all until the next broadcast.
God bless you.
Is our prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.